Welcome to another class of Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be back with you. I hope you've been learning some things. Last class we together, we talked about the prophet. Now, again, I didn't give an exhaustive teaching on the prophets because of time. We got to actually get to our book eventually, Alliance of Honorable Men. But we started off with apostles, explaining the characteristics of apostles. Then we talked about the purpose of an apostle. One of the things I didn't cover with the prophets is that there are major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. Major and minor does not talk about rank. It talks about size of the books. The major prophets had much larger books than the minor prophets, but their significance were the same. And of course, that's another whole class to study each of those prophets. But the main concept I want you to get was that all of those prophets had one objective, and that was to bring people back to God's original plan, bring them back to his thought process. And so if you look at all of them, you look at the major and the minor prophets, you look at the reason why they were able to see in the future was to forewarn of consequences if they didn't do these things, to forewarn of traps that were being set for them, and to encourage them that they were headed in the right direction. All those things, all those three things were focused on bringing people back to the agenda of God. In this particular session, I want to talk about the evangelists. Now, once again, let me precursor this by saying this is not an exhaustive. This is just to get you started to understand why it is important that the fivefold work together. The apostle carries the agenda of God. The prophet brings God's people back to his original plan or his original agenda. Without the apostle, there's no agenda to know or no agenda to be brought back to. No agenda will be known. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because the priest rejected. So therefore, the apostle and the prophet has to work together in order to first have an agenda to bring the people back to God's agenda. And this is, and then it leads to an advantage. Go to, with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, I keep stressing this, and I want you to understand this, that the Apostle Paul in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, the 11th verse, he listed the offices based on, they're ranked based on function. One, they're chronological order, but they're based on function. If there is no known agenda of God, then from the apostles, then the prophets have nothing to point back to. All right? I want you to catch that. If there's no known agenda of God, there's nothing for the prophet to point back to. So the evangelist, I want you to throw out everything you think you know about an evangelist, because you probably learned about an evangelist from a pastoral model or a pastoral point of view, which is the wrong way to see an evangelist. Matter of fact, I told you earlier in our previous classes to get you a good, strong concordance. And if you just simply go to the concordance, you would learn something very significant about an evangelist, and I will prove it biblically. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse, and of course, is the Apostle Paul writing, and he, meaning Jesus, gave some apostles, not all, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers. That means that everybody in the body of Christ is not going to be called to these fivefold ministry gifts, but some will be. And it's important that those that are called to these offices understand the function of the office so that the verse 12 can happen. The body of Christ can be perfected. The saints can be perfected, that they can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built or edified. So if you simply just go to the strong concordance when it says evangelist, I might not be the best at pronouncing this word, but Eucalystes, I think that's the way it's pronounced. Here's what it's defined as. Now, let me see, show you why it's important to have a strong concordance. I think I explained this before. Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. So the strong concordance, there was some meanings and some verbiage and some nuances that was lost between the translation from Hebrew and Greek into English. The King James Version is one of the most accurate versions we have. And in that translation, because of the two different types of languages, the formality of the language, there were some nuances, some thought processes, some emotions that were lost that are very important. And so, you know, if you look at some other translations of the Bible and you look at this word evangelist, it'll say a messenger or somebody who it gives a connotation that evangelist is somebody who goes and gets people born again. But evangelist is much more than that. And I'll prove it to you in a few moments. We start off by going to the Strong Concordance and look at the word eucalystes. I think that's how you pronounce it. It says it's a bringer of good tidings or an evangelist. Now watch this. This is important that you hear this. The Strong Concordance said the name given to the New Testament heralds of salvation or carriers of the gospel or heralds of salvation, the good news, through Christ, watch this qualification, who are not apostles. Now let's do some deductive reasoning here. It says the name given to the New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. The question is, why does the statement who were not apostles have to be made? That statement was made because of the function, we'll get to the functions of the evangelist and some characteristics of the evangelist. When we get there, you're going to see why. They had to be qualified as those who were heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. Meaning, watch this, an evangelist outside of an apostolic house will look like an apostle. Let's say that again. An evangelist outside of an apostolic house will look like an evangelist. Go with me to Luke, or start off at Mark, the sixth chapter. Now, what I mean by that, as we get into these characteristics or qualifications or characters of an evangelist, you will see exactly what I'm talking about and why it is ranked third. See, Jesus was brilliant in his, that's why he's the chief cornerstone. He was brilliant in his establishing of the government. And remember, Isaiah 9 and 6 said the government shall be upon his shoulder, meaning he'll be responsible for establishing the government. And when he set these gifts in the body, he was structuring this government so that the body of Christ can flourish and expand. So when the Apostle Paul finally got revelation of how to rank these offices, then it gives clarity as to the function of each office. So therefore, you have the apostle who is the carrier of God's agenda, which gives him or her the right to structure divine order, because they understand the plans of God. It gives the function of a prophet will cause a prophet to go into, watch this, familiar territory that have veered off from God's agenda. In other words, a prophet will be more effective with people that are aware of God and his plan, but have, for whatever reason, sin, erroneous doctrine, ego, have veered off from God's plan. And their job is to point them back to God's original plan. Now, an evangelist differs, because an evangelist is going into what we call virgin territories, or to a territory that might not have any familiarity, don't know who God is, don't know if God exists, don't know the love of God, don't know the power of God, and don't know the mercy of God. And so that's why they are heralds of salvation. They're going into new territories to introduce people to the love of God, to the power of God, and to the mercy of God. Now, this is important. To the love of God, to the power of God, and to the mercy of God. So when you introduce people to the love of God, you automatically introduce them to the power of God. When you introduce them to the power of God, that includes signs, wonders, and miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders. When you're introducing people to the power of God, there must be something to show. If there's nothing to show, then how are you going to get people who don't know God exists, don't think God exists, don't even care if God exists, to even pay attention to that God exists? Unless there are miracles, signs, and wonders worked at the hands of an evangelist. Now, watch this. Go with me to Acts. Let me see if I can find it. Acts, and we'll come back to Mark. Six chapter. Let me get to Acts. Let me look the scripture up. Let's see. Let me look it up real quick. There's a scripture I want to get to where it says, and the miracles worked by the hands of Paul. Wrought. See if I can find that scripture. Yeah, Acts 19. I think it's Acts 19. Yeah, Acts 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, the Apostle Paul. So that means when you... an apostle, remember the character of the apostle. Apostle has has authority over territorial demons and principalities, meaning that an apostle that doesn't have miracles, signs, and wonders following their ministry is not an apostle. I'm going to say that again. An apostle that does not have miracles, signs, and wonders following their ministry is not an apostle. So here we see in Ephesians 4 and 11, that one of the definitions of an evangelist is a herald of salvation, a New Testament. That means on this side of the cross, herald of salvation who through Jesus Christ, who were not apostles. Wow. So that means an evangelist outside of an apostolic house will look like an apostle. An evangelist inside the apostolic house, understand his or her rank because they realize that the power and authority that they walk in originates from their connection to the apostle or to the apostolic or to the agenda of God. I hope you understand this. Go back to Mark. Go back to Mark. I'm in good time. Mark 6, the 6th chapter. I want you to see something. And we're going to read it in another part of the Synoptic Gospel. Mark the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Jesus in this particular instance is acting as an apostle. Side note, when reading the Gospels, it will help you understand Jesus even more when you take time to understand what position Jesus is speaking from. What I mean by that, you must determine when Jesus is talking as an apostle, when Jesus is talking as a prophet, and because you're learning this, you're going to be able to see it. When Jesus is talking as a pastor, when Jesus is talking as a evangelist, when Jesus is talking as a teacher, pastor, teacher, when Jesus is talking as the Savior, when Jesus is talking as human. When you do that, you'll be able to relate to Jesus in all those areas. in this particular instance, Jesus is speaking from the office of an apostle. Well, how I know that? It says he called unto him 12 and began to send them forth two by two and two. And watch this, gave them power over unclean spirits. One of the characteristics of an apostle is that they have authority over territorial demons and principalities. That's unclean spirits. Verse 8, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whatsoever shall not receive you, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart, then shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. For I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with all many that were sick and healed. Jesus sent out the 12. Now, this is Jesus, watch this, sending out the 12. Now, let's go to Luke, the 9th chapter. I want you to see it. I want you to see a transition here. Luke, the 9th chapter. We're going to read it from another part of the Synoptic Gospels. Luke, the 9th chapter. And then we'll get into our characteristics of an evangelist. Then he called his 12, verse 1. 12 disciples. Now notice he called 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. And he had sent to them preaching the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither stave, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever shall not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Jesus is telling them you're going into places that you might not be accepted. That's new places, virgin territories, all right? And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all this was done by him, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets were risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Let's keep reading. Now verse 10, and the apostles, wait a minute, they were disciples. Now the text is referring to them as apostles. Do you see what Jesus told them? What he did. Number one, he gave them power over and authority over the devil and to cure diseases, right? Number two, he gave them an assignment and an agenda. They knew the plan, all right? Then they were able to overcome those unclean spirits and execute the plan. Verse 10, and the apostles. So they went out as disciples, and the text refers to them as apostles. Watch this. When they would return, they told him all they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So you see, Jesus sent them out as disciples. They came back as apostles, but you see what they were able to do. Let's start working on the characteristics. First, we see that an evangelist, an apostle, watch this, and not just evangelist, but an apostle has authority over territorial demons, has authority to do miracles, signs, and wonders, to structure heaven and earth government. We see that, right, as apostles. I want you to go to Luke, the 10th chapter. Let's go one chapter over, all right? Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Oh, my goodness. Jesus picked 70 more and sent them. Verse 2, therefore he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That means lambs among wolves. That means you're going into territory, into virgin territory that's not familiar with me. That will be territory. You're going to need something extra to deal with those territorial demons and principalities in those areas. Carry neither purse nor scrip, verse 4, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such thing as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein. And said unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and said, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Solomon than for that city. Woe be to Chorazin, woe unto these Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which ye have done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Keep reading. But it is more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Let's keep reading. There's a lot of reading, but let's keep reading. We're in a class, right? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Let's start working on the characteristics. Notice you don't see the word apostles nowhere used with the 70. What used with the 70? It was used with the 12, but it wasn't used with the 7. This is Jesus structuring heaven to earth government. Number one, let's get this, let's understand this. Number one, God calls you to an office. If God has called you to any of the fivefold ministry gift, he calls you to, he calls you. Man can't call you, he calls you. But if you are an evangelist, according to this, the first thing has to happen is you have to get connected to an apostle. Why? So that you can understand the agenda. When you understand the agenda, then you can be sent out. Because notice, remember, let's go to the category. Watch this. Number one, an evangelist is authorized to carry the same characteristics as an apostle. Notice what Jesus said. He said, let me get to the scripture. Let me get to it. He says, let me find it. Yeah, he says, the harvest is truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I will send you forth as lambs among wolves. Watch this. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, or salute no man by the way. And enter into ye, whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. Watch this. Go to verse 9. He said, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now watch this. Look what happened in verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Even the devils are subject to us through thy name. So that means Jesus sent them out with territorial authority, or with authority over territorial demons and principalities. Otherwise, they would not have had that if Jesus had not sent them out. So an evangelist, watch this, compared to what we know as we have been taught by the evangelist through a pastoral model, an evangelist must have miracles, signs, and wonders following their ministry. Because remember, the definition of an evangelist in Ephesians 4 and 11 is the name given to New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. So that means that an evangelist looks on the outside of an apostolic house. For people that don't know no better, they will look just like the apostle. They will represent the apostle in virgin territory, meaning they will carry the same weight. They will carry the same authority. They'll carry the same anointing. They'll carry the same results. So they're authorized to carry the same characteristics as an apostle. Number two, an evangelist is sent out by an apostle. An evangelist is sent out by an apostle. Now, what's the significance of that? An evangelist is sent out by an apostle to a territory that the apostle can't get to at that moment. Hear me. Remember watch what Jesus said in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. So the word Jesus was going to eventually get there, and eventually we're going to see what happens whenever an evangelist reports back to an apostle. So an evangelist has to report back to an apostle. See, that's key. They reported back to Jesus and told Jesus the results of him sending them out. I hope you're seeing this. So number one, they are authorized to carry the same characteristics as an apostle. Number two, an evangelist sent out. Number three, an evangelist, watch this, is loyal to the agenda of the apostle. An evangelist is loyal to the agenda of the apostle. Because on the outside, an evangelist will look like an apostle in new virgin territories. But the evangelist must know within him or herself that he or she is only a representative of the apostle who's carrying God, I represent God agenda. When a true evangelist goes out into virgin, so these evangelists that's trying to itinerate to other churches, that ain't virgin territory. Them people know Jesus. Them people already know the power of God. A true evangelist goes into territories and to places that they will encounter principalities. They will encounter darkness. They will encounter demons. Why? Because they're authorized with the same authority that an apostle has, authority over territorial demons and principalities. They are equipped with that same authority to be somewhere where the apostle can't be at that moment. Notice Jesus said, I'm sending to every city and every place that I want to be at and that I will get to, but I don't have time to get to there. I don't have time to go. I'm essentially duplicating myself. Hear me. An evangelist must be loyal to the agenda of an apostle. Now, why? Now, what? God called me. Yeah, God called you, but God connected you in his government to an apostle. Didn't he say that it would be built on first apostles, secondarily prophets? So that means that why is that? Because an apostle carries the agenda of God. See, forget the human. Don't worry about the human. The human embodies what God wants. We are carriers of God's agenda. All of us are carriers of God's agenda. But we must be equipped to be connected to those who can clearly, effectively communicate God's agenda. So when we're sent out, we know exactly what God is asking us to do. So an evangelist, number one, is authorized to carry the same characteristics as an apostle. Number two, evangelists are sent out. They don't leave on their own. They're sent out by an apostle. They're not sent out by a pastor. They're sent out by an apostle. Number three, an evangelist is loyal to the agenda of the apostle. Number four, they must report back. This is key. They must report back. Report back to the apostle. Why? Remember, thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul listed the offices in importance from in chronological order, not in importance, but by function. They're ranked by function. They're ranked by function. The reason why an evangelist has to report back to an apostle is so that the apostle could then turn around and appoint a pastor. Because one of the results of an evangelist is that now there are a group of people that have been converted from darkness into light that now needs to be shepherded. Oh my God, hear me. So now you understand, under the pastoral model, Satan has caused us to eliminate the apostle, eliminate the prophet, and therefore we running around, running to brick walls, not able to advance the kingdom, because every office has not been able to function in what it was supposed to function in because of egos. So when an evangelist reports back to an apostle, an apostle can then appoint a pastor that can shepherd the people that have been converted because of the evangelist. Fifth characteristic of an evangelist is that an evangelist will be going into new territories that have not experienced the love, power, and mercy of God. I want you to hear me. An evangelist that calls themselves an evangelist, that's just itinerant in other people's churches, they ain't no true evangelist. Because an evangelist is going to carry the same characteristics of an apostle. Now, that's by design. Why do they need to carry the same characteristics as an apostle? Why do they need to be sent out by an apostle? Because they're going into new territories that are probably overrun with demons and principalities, and because they're connected to somebody who has authority over those territorial demons and principalities, they too now have the authority to walk in that same power. That's why the 70 came back excited and said, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. They were excited because they were going to new territories and able to perform miracles, signs, and wonders, cast out demons, because they were connected to the agenda of the apostle in that time, who was Jesus. The process has not changed. The people have changed, but the process have not changed. So here you have the apostle, who is the carrier of God's agenda. The prophet of God, who goes to familiar territories, people who have veered off from. See, the function, Jesus was brilliant. So that he got the apostles going to places that knows the agenda of God, that they are familiar with the love of God, the power of God, and the mercy of God. And for some strange reason, they're veered off, or for some strange reason, they're in territory and they're not sure. So an apostle comes in, can be a seer and say, hey, watch out for this trap. Watch out for this coming to you. You're going the right direction. It's confirmation. Just like I told you about the confirmation with the widow woman. All Elijah did was confirm to her what God had already said to her. So these functions. So you got the apostle that is the carrier of God's agenda. You got the prophet that goes out with his or her giftings. And the purpose of those giftings is to point those people back to God's original plan. Then you have the evangelist, who's going into new uncharted territories to break fallow ground so that those people can experience what they've never experienced before. They've never experienced the love of God. They never experienced the power of God, nor have they ever experienced the mercy of God. Then they report back to the apostle. The apostle can appoint a pastor to shepherd. Now, pastor, and I'm going to get to next week. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because we've thrived in the pastoral model. So I will go over it somewhat so you'll understand who an apostolic pastor is. See, there's pastors, then there are apostolic pastors. Pastors who are connected to an apostle, because they are now shepherding people that the evangelists have won over in new territories. I hope you hear that. I hope you understand it. So again, An evangelist is authorized to carry the same characteristics as an apostle. An evangelist is sent out by an apostle. They are loyal to the apostle's agenda. They must report back to the apostle, and they must realize they're going into new territories to share heralds of salvation. I haven't even get the true meaning of salvation. It's soteria. That's a Greek word. Preservation, wholeness, prosperity, health. Letting people know that there is another way. That there is another way. I believe I get a chance to understand. I hopefully I get a chance to put all of them together so you can understand why Jesus set five gifts. Because each gift has their pros and their cons. For instance, an apostle don't care about your feelings. So an apostle wouldn't make a good pastor. A pastor cares too much about your feelings. So a pastor wouldn't make a good apostle. That's why the two have to work together so that the pastor can have an apostolic edge. Watch this. Love you enough to push you to do what God has called you to do. Push you to maturity. But also an apostle is speaking through a pastor because a pastor has the ability to love the sheep. Because an apostle is just tell you what they got to tell you and walk off. Won't explain nothing, teacher. Won't be there with you to walk through it. An apostle going to do other things. But when Jesus put all five into place, they work together. That's why there must be a culture of honor among the fivefold. I hope you were blessed by this session. Next week, we will deal with the pastor and the teacher. Because that one person will carry that both of those offices, and it's by design. And so I bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.